Well, tonight, what I would like to do, I'd like to take a few moments tonight in ministering the word and minister along the lines of straightening up our speech, making some minor correctional adjustments in our talking and some of the things that we say. And to show, I want to take two passages of scripture from the New Testament as our springboard. The first one is Matthew chapter 5. And the second one is James chapter 5. And some of you have heard me minister along these lines previously. If this is a review for you, why, that's fine. It's apparent that that we need the review. If you have never heard me minister or another man of God minister along these lines, you'll want to listen very carefully because you will hear something tonight that perhaps is not terribly startling, but at least will be revelationary for you. We're going to examine some of the things that we say quite innocently and innocuously, in other words, without any malice intended, but how those things that we say, these particular things I'm going to be referring to tonight, how it reveals what we really are on the inside and how inappropriate some of our language is and some of our talk. Things that you hear right around a church like this, things which you'll hear right in your family, in your home. Not only do you hear it in the world, but you hear these things from the mouths of Christians, and they are directly in opposition to the clear instruction of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you the words of Jesus tonight, and then the insight from the Apostle James. We'll not go back into the Old Testament, but there are several places in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, where Moses had given the same set of instructions to his people. And Jesus then amplified it here in the Sermon on the Mount. And see how important this is. All right, let's begin here in Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, beginning in the 33rd verse. Matthew 5, 33. Jesus has been teaching in this passage Old Testament law, and then amplifying it. He has taken the passage from the Old Testament about adultery. You shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that if you look upon a woman and have a desire, lust after her in your heart, that you've already committed the adultery. In other words, what he is doing here is taking Old Testament principles and elaborating on them and making them, expanding on them, and making a fuller application, I think perhaps we could say. And so here in this 33rd verse, he quotes the Old Testament law, and then he begins to make a broad application, which expresses not just the violation by action, but the violation which is in our hearts, and what this is meant to convey to us. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Now the word forswear literally means perjure yourself. And what he's saying is that under the old covenant, you have been instructed that you shall not lie, but whatever thing you say, that it shall be truth. And especially the Lord, the vows that you make unto the Lord, that you shall not perjure yourself by saying one thing and doing another, but rather you shall perform what you say. In other words, the words that come out of your mouth need to be true and they need to be honest, and that you shall not say lie by telling the Lord you're going to do one thing and actually do another. Now, that's fairly easy to understand, but now in the next verse, Jesus takes that principle and he amplifies that and makes that principle a practical instruction to us in our relationships, not only with the Lord, but with each other. But I say unto you, here is the living God in flesh form, amplifying this law and declaring it unto you, this is the fullness of what that law was meant to accomplish. Swear not at all. Now, to swear here does not mean cursing. This means take no oath, make no oath. It is not necessary, Jesus is saying, for you to confirm the truth of what you're describing by swearing. For example, that's the truth, I swear it. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't say that. If there is a need for you to confirm with an oath the veracity of what you are saying, it says something about what you normally say. Are you listening? If you feel that you must confirm with a declaratory oath the truth of what you have just said, what you are admitting to the listener is you can't depend on the rest of what I say. See? Jesus said, your heart must cause your mouth to always speak truth. Therefore, don't ever confirm your word by swearing an oath. Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now, when he says in the 37th verse, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, what he's saying is, when you say yes, make it be yes. Don't make it be no, but you're saying yes because you think it's appropriate to say yes. You must develop the kind of not only reputation, but the kind of integrity of speech that when you say something, people who hear you may depend upon it without any further evidence or any further confirmation. When you say, when someone says to you, well, let me see if I can get, I can come up with an example here. Do you like this rust color on these chairs? Jesus said, if you say yes, let it be really yes. You don't tell people what they want to hear. Now, there's a great malady, even among Christians, to tell people what we think they want to hear when it is not true. Well, what time are you planning to come over tomorrow? Well, I'll be there about 7 o'clock, I guess. Knowing full well it's impossible for you to be there until 8:30. But you know they want you there at 7 o'clock, so you tell them 7 o'clock. You know you can't be there till 8:30. Let your yea mean what it says. Let your nay, no, I can't make it. I had a situation just this week where I was invited to something that I wasn't sure that I wanted to go. I wasn't sure that I could go, but I didn't have time to think all that through at the time I was getting the invitation, and so I said, well, I'll think about it. That was wrong. I had a man, this is not why I'm bringing the message, I didn't think, but maybe it is. You know, it comes to my mind while I'm preaching it, so maybe this is for me. You just listen in. Saturday night a week ago, I had the privilege of ministering at a service, preaching a message at a service. And there were, most of the people who were there were people I did not know. It was a group of pastors from different places around Georgia and so on. And in the course of the evening, one of the pastors who was there from Covington said to me, Pastor Vic, we'd like for you to come down and be with us in service and bring your church down and some Sunday we just have fellowship together. And he just caught me in the middle of a situation where I didn't have time to think that through. And, well, is that, can I really do that? Is it, you know, do our people want to close up shop a Sunday night and bus it to Covington to have church with another? I mean, it'd be a wonderful thing to do, but I'm not sure how convenient that really is and whether we'd really want to do that or not. And I didn't know how to respond to him. And so I said to him, I said, that would be nice. And I meant that. That would be nice. But I misled him.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I didn't want to tell him, no, I don't want to come to your church. I mean, what are you going to say in a situation like that? You know? I mean, it's, you know, it's for a man to invite you to come to his church and minister the word to his people. That's a blessing, see. And so I said, well, that would be nice. So before the evening was over, that was the early part of the evening, before the evening was over, now, this is at the conclusion of the service, and the master of ceremonies there, the one that was coordinating the service, asked if there were any announcements, you know, and so this gentleman from Covington comes to the microphone. Guess what? Yeah. Get your car gassed up, Larry. Put a top on that truck so we can put 10 or 12 in there. You know what's coming. You can see it, can't you?
Yeah.
Well, dumb me, I couldn't see it. So he came to the microphone and he had two announcements. We got by the first one all right. But in the second announcement, he said, and Pastor Vic is going to be with us down at Covington, going to bring his church down. We're going to have fellowship and worship together, and he's going to tell me what day. So you see, my yay wasn't yay. Now, I didn't lie to him. I said it'd be nice. It would be nice. I still think it would be nice. I guess I'd better think that because it looks like we're going, doesn't it? But, you know, a congregation this size, it's not as easy just to shut your doors on a Sunday evening. If you've got a congregation of 20, 25 people, it's fairly easy. You just shut your service down and you can go anywhere you want. But a congregation this size, you have... You know, it's very unusual for us this evening not to have people who are here for the first time, and you just don't want people coming and having a sign on the door, you know, gone fishing or whatever, or roped into a trip to Covington or whatever. But you see, I made a problem for myself there. And now, what do? My yea was not really yea, and my nay was not nay. And Jesus said, anything other than that comes from evil. Comes from evil. All right, now let's turn over to James, the book of James, chapter 5, and let's see what kind of evil that is. Now, this kind of thing is going on in personal relationships all the time. All the time. Wait till I show you some of the things here that the Lord is showing me that's occurring. I think that's the last confession I'm going to make tonight upon myself. I think I'll begin now to go after you. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, don't you think? Oh, thank you. Give me such liberty, you all. In James chapter 5, listen to this from the 12th verse. But above all things, this is apparently very important. James did not say this in passing. He said, at the end of his letter, he says, above all things. He's talked here about patience. He's talked about waiting on the Lord. He's talked about how we use our money. He's talking about paying your employees properly. He's talking about the rich and how they live. And then here in the 12th verse, above all things, my brethren, talking here to believers, swear not. Now, again, I say this is not blasphemy or obscenity he's talking about. He's not talking about that at all. You wouldn't think to speak the four-letter obscenities that you used to say before you came to Christ. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about saying something that's not true simply as a matter of convenience or deception. Now, what I did a week ago Saturday night was deception. It was pure and simple deception. And I hoped that would be the end of it, or at least until I had a chance to think it through and consider what we might do. It isn't that I didn't want to go. It's just I didn't know how to respond to him, see? and I handled it badly. And it was deceitful. Swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Now, the word condemnation here is a very interesting word. The word condemnation comes from the Greek word that means more literally hypocrisy or deceit. Now, James is saying here, be careful with your mouth. Speak always the truth, or don't speak at all, or you will find yourself falling into hypocrisy and deceit. Now, that's precisely in the story I related to you, that's precisely what I did. That was hypocritical, and it was deceitful. And I find that we do that more often than we like to admit. I can't tell you how many times I have experienced it just in personal relationships in so many different ways. Are you planning to come to such and such? Yeah, we'll be there. Don't have the foggiest desire to go or intention to go. May even want to go, but don't have the intention to go. Oh, yeah, we'll be there. What time you coming? Will you be there for dinner? Oh, yeah, we'll be there for dinner. Don't show up till after dinner. Or at all. How about this one? By heaven, I know that's the truth. Now, that's an oath, isn't it? Jesus said, don't swear by heaven. Don't use that kind of terminology. How about this one from an old timer? By cracky. Is that an oath? Is it an oath? It's a confirming oath, isn't it? James says, not any oath. Not by heaven, not by earth, not by the hairs on your head, not by cracky. All right, are you listening to me? Now, people talk like that. Don't have the foggiest idea of what they're doing. But they are emphasizing the veracity of what they're saying because they know that a high percentage of the time they speak the lie. How about this? Have you ever heard this? To be perfectly honest about it. I won't ask for hands, but how many of you are familiar with that kind of talk? How about this one? To be frank. What, that's just another way of saying honest. It's a highfalutin way of saying you can really believe this. Now, if we really understood what was happening, the minute a person said, honest, what I'm telling you is the truth. The minute we heard that, we should know right away that it's probably not true. If a person feels that they must verify the truth of what they're saying with an oath, their heart is speaking, you can't depend on what I say. I'm going to say that again. If a person feels compelled to validate or confirm the truth of his statements with confirming oaths, what he is saying, without his knowing it, he is saying, you can't trust me because my words generally are deceitful. Or at least frequently enough that I know that if I want you to really believe this, that I have to confirm this in this very definite way. How about this one? I'll be honest with you and then launch into the, you know, what they're going to be honest about. Have you ever heard that? To tell you the truth, these are familiar expressions, aren't they? They are unfortunately all too familiar to us. Kids grow up. What do they learn to say? Honest Injun. Why do they say honest Injun? Because their yea is not yea. And their nay is not nay. And their little hearts know it. And they know that their word is not to be trusted. And if they want to get this across, they find a way to validate what they're saying with a confirming oath. Cross my heart. And even cross my heart and hope to die. Thank God he's not listening and taking that seriously. You know, we'd have a lot of folks never make 21. Is that right? And this one, this is so common. Not so much among believers, but among the world. Honest to God. Now, the third commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And that's exactly what that is. For what we are doing, Jesus said, you don't swear by heaven, because that's where the throne of God is. You don't swear by earth, that's his footstool. Certainly you don't swear by his name. What I'm telling you is the gospel truth. You ever hear that one? Gospel truth. You can believe this. People who talk that way are untrustworthy. If you talk that way, you are untrustworthy. Now, what I believe the Lord wants us to do tonight in hearing this message is for us to do a mouth check. Not on everybody else, on yourself. Listen to yourself. What comes out of your mouth? How do you talk? How do you talk to customers? How do you talk to your family? How do you talk to friends and neighbors? How do you talk to other people? What is the natural flow and flavor of your conversation? And if your conversation is like that, adult, young person, child, if that's the kind of mouth that you have a deceitful heart. Pastor, I don't think I can take that. You better take it from me, because if you don't take it from me, you won't have to take it from him. See? And you don't fear him that can throw you into prison. You fear him that can cast your soul and body into hell. Are you listening to me? So sooner or later, Jesus said, every idle word that a man speaks, he will have to give account thereof. When? In the day of judgment. So sooner or later, we're going to have to give account for these kinds of things. And either we take care of them now and get cleansed of them now, or we stand before the mighty God and give account for them. How about this one? No lie. No lie. Right at the end of it, no lie. No lie. Well, what was the last thing you told me? See, did you think you have to warn me that this is not a lie? Does that mean that every time you don't say no lie, that that is a lie? Chances are very good it is. Are you listening to me? A person who talks like that all the time is saying to you, much of what else I say is not trustworthy or dependable. How about this one? I'm not lying to you now. Or just simply, now this is the truth. Or how about this one? This is I think, currently, believe it. Believe it. Is that language is that appropriate language? Believe it. That's the kind of thing that Jesus was rebuking here and warning against. And then this one, so help me God. Now, even in the courtroom, do you see what's wrong with a courtroom scene? When you take the oath on the Bible, you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, just the facts, man. So help me God. Jesus said, that's not necessary. They ask you, do you want to tell the truth? You say, yes, I'll tell you the truth. That's sufficient. Anything more than that stems from evil. You can be sure of it. Advertising. Watch the ads. Watch the ads. And you will see this spirit in there. See? You can be sure of it. Guaranteed. I guarantee it. You can bet on it. All that kind of talk. I'd swear on a stack of Bibles. And I could go on and on and on. You get the flavor? What are some of the ones you hear? Scout's honor. Yeah, there's one. Scout's honor. That's like honest engine. God is my witness. Yes. Yes. Okay, there you go. I promise. Right. Yeah, that's right. The word is not good enough, and they know that. And so I promise. Yes, yes. These great pleas, believe me, is what that means. Okay? Anyone else? Yes, Barbara? Yes, really. Uh-huh. Okay, that's right. All right. Now, how should you respond if somebody says, really? What should you say? Yes. Not yes, God's honor. Not yes, honest to God. Not yes, cross my heart, hope to die. Not yes, I've told you the truth. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and that's sufficient. And let your no be no. All right? Any others? All of these are good. So you get in the picture and you understand what's happening. When you say something, it needs to be the truth or don't say it. If you can't be somewhere at 7 o'clock and they expect you at 7 o'clock, be honest enough to say, I don't believe I can make that at 7 o'clock. I will try if that's what you're going to do, but I don't think we can make 7 o'clock. Don't tell them you're going to be there at 7 o'clock and have them waiting for you. That's rude. It's rude. And it's deceitful. If she says, do you like my dress? Best thing to do is just take a vacation, you know, in that kind of a situation. Or, you can say, well, it's got a lovely green belt on it. The one you get husbands is, how do you like my hairdo? Or worse yet, you didn't notice I got my hair cut. And she ought to know that if you didn't notice it, if you didn't comment on it, that she oughtn't to either, because she's asking for trouble. Amen? So we need to learn how to speak the truth. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Emphasis, oath-taking, swearing like this hides a lying tongue. Protestations to the contrary, oaths hide conceal a lying tongue. Now, we talk about white lies and black lies, but the Bible only has one kind of lie. One kind. And what we know about the lie is it's abomination to God. It's abomination to God. Moms and dads, if your tongue is deceitful in this way, you will raise kids who are deceitful in this way. They will learn to manipulate and deceive people the same way they've watched you do them and others. So you will have your character in this area mirrored in the life of your children. Now, let's go to Matthew 26, and I'll show you probably one of the, what I suspect is one of the most illuminating examples or confirming examples of this kind of prevarication. You understand prevarication? Deceitful talking. Matthew 26 and starting in the 69th verse. Now watch this. The story is familiar, but perhaps you've never made the application, and let's just make it tonight. Jesus is in the judgment hall of the high priest, and Peter is outside in the courtyard. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Now was that truth or not? That was a lie. I don't know him. Verse 71, and when he was gone into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. He said, Scout's honor. I don't know him. All right? Now, what's he concealing? He's concealing the truth. He's concealing the fact that he's lying. Look, guys, I'm telling you the truth. Believe it. This is, Barbara. Really? I promise, Debbie. I don't know him. See? He's concealing his lying heart and his lying tongue with these oaths. And after a while, came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. What happened here? He became more emphatic. Look, I told you. You can believe me. This is the truth. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know this guy. And then he began to put some actual cursing, some actual profanity as a further emphasis upon his oath-taking in order to get the people to believe what was a lie with an oath. Proverbs chapter 10, and let's conclude the matter here. Proverbs chapter 10, if you've been studying with us in Sunday school, you're familiar with this verse. We've shared it together. Actually, we've shared the principle many Sunday mornings as we've been in Proverbs. Verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness or crookedness. If a man, I'm sorry, we better go to one other verse. James just comes to me here. James chapter 3. Well, let's start at James 1:26. James, 1st chapter, 26th verse. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Here's the deceit, you see. He says one thing, he's deceiving himself. Third chapter of James, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. We make mistakes. We all stumble, fall. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. What comes out of a man's mouth identifies what kind of a man he is. Solomon says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaks crookedly. James said that the man who speaks crookedly is not perfected, is not matured, is not grown up. But a man who offends not with his mouth is one who is demonstrating his maturity, demonstrating his maturity and his completeness in Christ Jesus. So, let's just be reminded tonight of the importance that a man's word ought to be sufficient. If a man gives you his word, we ought not to have to ask him, do you really mean that? Or are you sure? But the reason we have to is because so many times we don't get the truth. And we know that we're not getting the truth. And we want to hear the confirmation. And I guess that's another side to this. Sometimes we do press people into taking oaths, don't we? When they say, I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock, and we say, are you really? And then what's he going to say? He should say, yes. But what will he likely say? Yes, I promise. Scout's honor. Cross my heart. I'll be perfectly truthful with you about this. I'll tell you, when you get into a business deal, and the guy starts talking about, to be perfectly honest with you, I tell you what I'm going to do on this situation now. I'm going to be brutally frank with you here. To give you the whole story, when you start getting that kind of a language, you had better get you some help or run because you're dealing with a deceitful person. All right? Let's have everybody on their feet, please.